ATC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Ann Greason from the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Tuesday night, the 18th of October. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you this evening?
You know, I'm pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good. Fall is definitely setting in here. I'm getting a little feedback. I don't know if your volume's up a little loud, but I'm getting just a little feedback.
You know what? Let me... I might have forgotten to switch back to the setting. with the problems we had this morning,
yeah,
I
that
might
was...
very well have forgotten to switch this back. Sorry, folks, but live radio, when you move the computers around all over, sometimes you forget to switch certain feeds back. Okay, it should be fine now.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
that worked out well.
Yes.
Yeah, earlier this morning, Diana and I were trying to talk on Skype, and she could hear me, and I couldn't hear her at all. Mm-hmm. And then I checked my settings. My settings were okay. She checked hers and made a switch, and then we could hear each other. So,
right.
You know, one of those things. Right off the top, we got to say that the podcast from tonight's show will not go up until probably what, tomorrow afternoon? Is that what we're thinking?
Either tomorrow afternoon or Thursday morning, because with the midterm election coming up and some local candidates running in my town, I will be in and out tomorrow. So it will go up either tomorrow afternoon or first thing Thursday morning.
It just depends on when Diane gets done with her meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be up there, guys.
Okay.
Not to worry. It probably will be on the website, and it will be on Podbean. The only thing is it won't be circulated around until I get back in the house.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. You got part two of the politicization of Hurricane Ian tonight.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And thank you for the response I've been getting from all the fans of our great governor.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got more than two.
Yes.
I'm talking about a simple answer versus the truth. And folks, you're not going to want to miss either one of those two main segments tonight. What I'm going to tell you is going to light your hair on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty bad. I'll just leave it set right there. Now, earlier today, Joe Biden was given a speech about abortion, and he managed to muff that speech up something fierce.
Yeah, what he thinks is he can override the Supreme Court and codify Roe and get it all through the whole country, forgetting that the Supreme Court did not do away with abortion. They sent it back to the individual states where it belonged in the first place. And then when he goes through his whole diatribe at the very end, he goes, I'm sorry. I mean, well, this man is in la-la land.
While he was speaking, he was mispronouncing things. He was forgetting things. I mean, he just stumbled and staggered his way through that whole thing. And then at the end of it, you know, I'm sorry. And then yesterday he was giving a speech, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was. Oh, it was about the student loan thing.
Right.
And he said, you can go to this website and get information about it. And he spelled out dot.
Right.
D-O-T. What? You know? I mean, it's getting bad. It's getting worse by the hour with him.
Well, you know what it is, Craig? I think the only reason they haven't invoked the 25th Amendment on him is... look who would be president.
Well, exactly.
I mean, that is the biggest waste of a vice president I have ever seen. And can you imagine her as president? Although it would still be Obama running the show, but it would just go from bad to worse.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a bad situation. They just can't let Biden out in public. And, you know, to that end, right now, Democrats are saying they want Jill Biden on the campaign trail, but not Joe.
Jill Biden should be ashamed of herself. I've written about this. I've spoken about this. She knows her husband is not fit to serve as president of the United States, yet she so wants the glory of being first lady that she's allowing this sick man. And part of me feels sorry for him because it is a physical ailment that he has. You know, dementia is physical. It is real. And she's allowing it.
Well, she can't go on the campaign trail because if she did, there wouldn't be anybody left at the White House to feed him his pudding.
Yeah, I know. And I, in everything I've ever said about Biden, I have never ridiculed him for his illnesses and in that respect. But I will 100% say that Jill Biden should be, in my opinion, she's guilty of elderly abuse.
I don't disagree with you, but I'll tell you something. His cheese has been sliding off his cracker for 47 years.
Well, so. I'm not going to go that far. You know, in the beginning when he was a young man, yes, he had different opinions than we do. He was the other side of the aisle, but he wasn't like he is in, I'd say, probably the last 10 years.
Come on, the only way he got through law school was by plagiarizing because he couldn't put anything together on his own.
You know, I understand, but he wasn't in the throes of dementia or Parkinson's.
Well, right,
else he has.
That's my point. I mean, his cheese has been sliding off his cracker. He's made some of the biggest dumbass statements. For almost 50 years, you know, now you can blame it on the dementia. But, you know, before he was just being an idiot. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. Look, here's another idiotic thing that he's done. He came out today and said, you know, he's going to release another, 10 to 15 million barrels of oil out of our strategic oil reserve.
First of all, you don't run down your nation's strategic oil, especially in the times of Putin right now. Putin is a loose cannon. He can go off at any time. The war in Ukraine could suddenly be turned into a war on NATO and a war on the U.S. And when we need that strategic oil for our military, it's not going to be available. So what Joe Biden is actually doing is putting this country at risk. And for that alone, he should not be commander-in-chief.
Well, don't you think it's a national emergency that the liberals are going to lose the election in a few weeks? Doesn't
that count? That's an emergency I'm looking forward to.
Doesn't that count as a national emergency? Look, you know, here's the thing. When you do this, I mean, I can understand it every once in a while, but I mean, he's making a regular habit out of it. And our strategic oil reserve is the lowest it's been, I think, now in about 40 years. And he keeps releasing more and more barrels to do what? Maybe to gain a few votes between now and November 8th?
It's not going to stop the price of gasoline going up. Not enough is being released. We don't have enough anymore to really affect the gas prices. But there's a simple solution, Craig. Drill, baby, drill. That's all that has to be done.
Start poking holes in the ground and opening up some pipelines.
Exactly. You know, but he won't do that.
We've got literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of oil reserves, natural gas reserves. We got all the energy we can possibly want underneath the ground in this country. All we got to do is tap into it.
Exactly, but he won't do it because it goes against the liberal Obama agenda.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, look, he's putting our country at risk. This is a national security issue is really what it comes down to. I mean, when you bleed us dry in our national oil reserve, what happens if we actually have a real national emergency?
Well, that's what I was talking about. Putin could go off the deep end at any moment. And we need that oil for our military. And it's not going to be available in the amounts that is needed.
Well, I know. I mean, that's what you say. But don't we have tanks that run on wind power? I mean,
you mean the same ones that get plugged in for 2 days to charge up those tanks?
Well, no. I mean, you look at the what is it? I think it's the new Ford F-150. No, it's the new Hummer, the electric Hummer.
Yeah.
Takes 4 days to charge. 4 days.
Yeah. Now, that's absolutely ridiculous. And one thing these electric car proponents really forget, what do you do when the charging station power goes out?
Well, you do.
You have dead cars all over the country just sitting there.
You do what they do in California. They say, look, you know, we want everybody to buy an electric vehicle, but please don't plug them in because, you know, we're short on power.
Right. I mean, they make no sense. The technology is not perfected enough. The price is not realistic for probably 95% of this country. And it's a joke. We need fossil fuels. Period.
Plain and simple. Karine Jean-Pierre, one of your favorite people, Diane.
Medusa, yes.
Medusa. She said from the podium, and I had to laugh. I'm sorry, but I found this funny. She says that inflation relief will start early next year. Now, here's what she said that made me laugh. She said inflation really started about 18 months ago. That's when the price of gas and the price of other things started going up. Mm-hmm. So she finally admitted it. She didn't mean to, but she finally admitted it, that inflation is directly tied to the American Rescue Plan spending spree that Biden went on.
Right.
Because that took place 18 months ago, and everybody said, everybody with a working brain cell, liberals, you're excluded. You can sit down. Everybody with a working brain cell said, if you go on this spending spree, you're going to cause massive inflation. Oh, no, that won't happen. We were told by the mainstream media and by the Biden regime, but it did happen.
It's exactly what happened. And it happened to a tune of being the highest inflation in 40 years.
Now, apparently, beginning early next year, what we're going to see happen, according to Karine Jean-Pierre, what we're going to see happen is apparently hearing aids are going to be less expensive.
Oh, whoopee-doo. What about, you know, the vast majority who don't use hearing aids?
I'm just telling you. You know, she said people will see some, I think it was either Medicare or Medicaid relief, and hearing aids will be cheaper. And I'm thinking, well, that certainly solves the problem. You can't afford a loaf of bread, but at least your hearing aids will cost a little less.
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, this whole bill of his, this inflation relief, this is not inflation relief. What it is doing is going to cause inflation to really lock in even sooner than, you know, the talking heads are predicting, you know, that we're going into a recession. I got news for all of them. We're already in one.
Well, but they're now saying what the economic experts are saying anyway, is that the recession will become deeper because of the Recession Relief Act.
Exactly.
Well,
I mean,
clap
the
hands.
Democrats put out all these feely, goody, soundy things, but you can't believe any of it because the way they don't want things to get better. They want the American public dependent on the government for their existence, and they will do everything in their power to get that to happen.
You know, if they can make things bad enough, if they can drive, and this is what socialism does, if you can drive everybody to the bottom rung of the ladder, then everybody is dependent on the government for all their wants and needs.
Exactly. You know, and the what's funny when I think about the college kids all celebrating, oh, we're getting this relief, you know, student loan relief. Guess what? None of our kids who went to private colleges, private universities are getting a bloody dime out of it.
No, and they're the ones that are actually getting a real education.
They're the ones getting the education, and they're the ones whose parents have had to pay through the teeth to send them to those schools. And they don't get any relief at all.
No. But you know, if you're going to a state-run asylum of higher indoctrination, you know, then as long as you're making less than $125,000 a year, right, you're going to get $10,000. Now, most college students I've ever known are making way less than $125,000 a year when they're in college. If you can make $125,000 a year while you're in college, get the hell out of college.
Right. You know? But that also has to do with the payments, you know, that the parents are paying and all that. But I don't know of any, and I could be wrong here, but I don't know of any state college, and that this is what it deals with mostly, community colleges and state colleges, that costs $125,000 a year. They usually cost, you know, a couple $10,000, maybe as much as $50,000. It's we who have had to pay for the private colleges and universities. We're the ones that can use some debt relief. Because let's say the parents or the kids are going to be paying these loans back for decades.
Well, I mean, look at it realistically. Let's say you're going to a state college, okay? And let's say your tuition is, what, $25,000, $30,000 a year?
Okay. If even that much.
Yeah, but I'm just picking a number. So you get $10,000 in debt relief. What's that really doing for you?
Nothing.
Yeah, well, then, you know.
Well, it's buying your vote.
That's it.
It's just buying your vote for 10 grand.
That's it. That's exactly what it does. And they know it. Biden knows it. Obama knows it. They all know it.
But the thing is, will the kids really go along with it? Some will.
Some will. Some won't. A lot won't. There's a lot of college students right now saying, "No, I don't want this."
Right.
You know, and good for them.
They're smart enough to realize what it's about. It's vote garnering, plain and simple.
That's all it is. So, you know, I mean, this all of this is going on, but yeah, Karine Jean-Pierre Yeah, it's all going to kick in. You know, the relief, you'll start seeing relief, cheaper hearing aids beginning at the first of the year.
How about if we get some relief and he gets another press secretary?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I wonder how long. I mean, is she dumb enough to stay there for an extended period of time? Because she's getting picked apart left and right.
Well, she's not even smart enough to come up with the right answers. So at this point, I'd even rather see Circleback Saki than her.
Jean-Pierre has to read everything out of a notebook. She can't answer a question without looking at her notes.
Right, and they'll never fire her for obvious reasons.
Obvious reasons. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's... Now, here's a story that came out yesterday, and both Diana and I went, what the hell is this? Mm-hmm. Apparently, over at Boston College, with a little help from some scientists from Florida, they have developed a brand new strain of, oh goody, COVID-19, that apparently when you give it to certain mice, it's 80% more deadly.
Right, and it's Boston University, not college. They're two
okay,
different
Boston
things.
University. Boston. And, they pocked their car in the yard.
Yes.
I don't care what.
And in the articles I've read, nowhere does it say help from anyone from Florida. But that's small potatoes. Basically, what this has to do is the virus that they've created is an 80% kill rate. But now they're saying that all those stories that came out yesterday, they didn't come out the right way. They're claiming that it's, and this is a quote, it's false and inaccurate reporting because, a lethal virus strain was created, but it was not created for the reason that was reported on yesterday.
But they never gave a reason.
That makes a very big difference. The thing they created is more dangerous, but it was created to see the differences between the Omicron and this one, and what are the differences? Why is one more deadly than the other? And it all comes down to spike proteins. And they thought the spike proteins in Omicron were different than the one they created. And it turns out that the spike proteins that affected Omicron were not the ones that they created, manipulated, whatever, with this new virus. So basically, they did all this for nothing.
Well, I still maintain it's a dumbass idea. I mean, here you've got something, you're coming out of a pandemic situation and you're monkey fricking around with COVID-19 and creating different strains. I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
I'd like to know if Fauci had any hand in this.
Well, they say it's not gain of function.
No, it's not gain of function research. But he has his tentacles in more than just gain of function research. Am I saying that he has taken part of this? No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is the way... Have you noticed how he is speaking now? He's trying to deflect blame.
Oh, yeah,
on
because
everybody but himself.
Well, he's on his way out.
Right. It's almost like this is a divert and deflect situation.
Yeah, I give some people something else to talk about other than him when it comes to COVID-19. But, you look at this thing, University of Boston, Boston University, and, I mean, what are they doing? Okay, let's see if we can make this more dangerous. Let's tinker toy around with it.
No,
I mean,
No. What they were actually doing was it's all based on the spike proteins. They were hoping that if they could manipulate or push certain spike proteins one way, that it would lead to a better diagnostic way of managing the disease, not realizing that Omicron, which is the virus they were working with, ran on a different set of spike proteins than the virus they created.
Well, dumbass idea. I mean, look,
yeah,
you got a bunch of scientists. you'd think they would have done more research before they started tinkering around with the virus, but apparently not. Oops, look what happened.
Yeah, another oops factor. They would be, these universities, these research centers, they would be better off looking for an antidote to COVID. Very different than a vaccine, folks. Very different than the standard treatments. Start looking for an antidote. I said that when the pandemic first started, and I stand by that. This is not your regular run-of-the-mill virus, COVID. This is a manipulated, bioengineered virus based, you know, it has its base in, obviously, the animal virus. But this is not what people think it is. And I think from day one, we've gone the wrong way. We never needed a vaccine. We always needed an antidote.
Okay, so it's, you know, the whole pandemic started because of a manipulated, lab-created virus.
Absolutely.
Which is what the University of Boston's doing with it now. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I feel so much better.
But there is a big difference, though, Craig. Their intention was to see the spike proteins and ways to better handle the disease. But what they should do now, knowing that they've got the wrong spike proteins and this won't affect that and whatever, it should be destroyed.
Right. What could possibly go wrong? Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, Senator Chuck Grassley makes our quick hitters. We don't talk about Chuck Grassley often enough. I'll tell you what, he comes across kind of as a cantankerous fellow, but I like him. He is now demanding that the DOJ take action on Hunter and James Biden. He says there is way more than enough evidence that crimes have been committed.
Well, I think what should come out and needs to be spoken as truth. Yeah, Hunter and James, that's well and fine. But James ain't the big guy.
No,
we know
Joe
who
is.
The big guy is. And I think the reason the FBI will not go forward with this, or at least not up until this point, they have not gone forward with it, is because the investigation concerns not just Hunter and James, and not even just Joe. But I think deep down, they know and have proof that a certain previous president, and I don't mean Donald Trump, is part of this too, possibly also with Hillary involved. My opinion.
You think they're protecting that clan?
I sure do.
Really?
Is that your surprised face?
That is. That yes. I'm shocked. I'm dismayed. I'm baffled. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But people won't say that. That's the thing.
That's the problem right there. I mean, look, we know what's in the laptop. It's all been made public, and more comes right out all the time. What the FBI has backs up everything Tony Bobulinski said.
Exactly.
Okay, and it goes even deeper than what Tony Bobulinski said. Grassley is 100% correct. There is voluminous, that's the word he used, voluminous right evidence that James and Hunter Biden were engaged in illegal activities. Laws have been broken. They need to take action. With they, I mean the DOJ, needs to take action against those two. Now, the reason he's saying those two is because the deeper they delve into an investigative situation, if they're doing it honestly, it will expose everything Joe Biden had to do with it, everything Obama knew about it, possibly, as you said, what Hillary knew about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to go a lot deeper than James and Hunter.
Well, don't expect anything to happen unless we take back the House and the Senate.
Right. And I guarantee
because
you,
the FBI right now, Craig, is as crooked as they are.
Well, exactly. Now, I guarantee you we're going to take the House, and that's where the investigation will take place,
right,
is in the House. But all the House can do, they can't indict anybody. They can only recommend.
Exactly.
So as long as the DOJ stays in the hands of the filth that it's in now, nothing will happen.
Right. We need to take back the Senate to such a degree that Kamala Harris cannot be a deciding vote.
Exactly. Exactly. But
and
I mean,
I think it's down to three seats now. I think they're saying it's just three that are in question.
Right. But Congress cannot indict. Only the Department of Justice can indict. Congress exactly. can make a recommendation, but that's as far as it goes. So,
and if you think that the DOJ under this administration is going to indict, they're not.
Are you going to make me put on my shocked face again?
Yeah, why not?
Folks, we made it to the bottom. Yeah, we made it to the bottom of the hour. That means we got to take a break, get a couple of station IDs in here. When we come back, Diane's talking about the politicization of Hurricane Ian Part 2, and about a half an hour from now, I'm talking about a simple answer versus the truth. Information that will light your hair on fire. Stay with us, folks. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow, click the podcast button, and the show will be there. Now, we won't get it up on social media until maybe Thursday morning.
Yeah, it could be as late as Thursday morning.
But if you go to the website, rspradio1.com, good chance you'll find it tomorrow. Okay, right. Diane, so last week you did part one, which naturally brings us to part two. You're talking about Hurricane Ian and obviously a terrible disaster down there in Florida, as well as other places, but the hardest hit areas for Florida, obviously.
By far, yes.
And of course, it got politicized immediately by the liberals. So
yes.
Tonight you're dealing with the politicization of Hurricane Ian, part two.
Right. And last week in my article, part one, I spoke about the hurricane's aftermath and how some of our country's elected officials are not only trying to play the blame game for both the storm damage incurred and the lives lost, but how some, like Kamala Harris, have now turned an act of nature, climate change nonsense be damned, into a racist endeavor in a quest to garner more votes for the Democrats' soon-to-be-lost midterm election. And in said article, I also spoke about how Florida's great Governor Ron DeSantis and our Florida congressmen and women, as well as both our senators, stood strong against the Democrats using Florida's tragedy as a way to pass their continuing resolution to keep the federal government up and running through mid-December. Nothing like Democrats showing their true colors by porking up their liberal agenda at the expense of their fellow Americans who have now literally lost everything they once owned and in some cases lost people they loved. And so here I begin where part one left off, with the continuing resolution and Joe Biden's visit to both Puerto Rico and Southwest Florida to see the devastation firsthand. And in both places, Biden made some of his biggest oops moments, moments that have indeed come back to haunt. In the late afternoon of Wednesday, October 5th, Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden, read nursemaid here, visited Fort Myers to survey the damage caused by Hurricane Ian and to meet with officials, residents, and business owners impacted by Ian's devastating fury. Starting with an aerial tour aboard Marine One, Biden met with Governor DeSantis, Senators Marco Rubio and Rick Scott, as well as state and local leaders to discuss ongoing recovery efforts, saying that, quote, "This is about America coming together." Biden also vowed to bring, quote, "every element of the federal government together to help with immediate needs and long-term rebuilding," end quote. Never mind the fact that his vows were tied into the aforementioned continuing resolution. Also, Biden said that those Floridians without disaster insurance may be eligible for up to $80,000 in federal funds to repair or replace their homes and vehicles. But the problem is that most folks who own homes in Florida have homeowners insurance, as mortgage companies do require it. However, what Biden specifically referred to as being disaster insurance is not on its own offered in the state of Florida. And those without insurance usually, but not always, are folks of lower income or people of color. What Biden is basically now doing is giving even more government benefits to those who are already on welfare and Medicaid, folks who do not even own homes, but rent homes or apartments instead. And this means that they can do whatever they wish to do with Biden's $80,000 giveaway, while the actual home and property owner is left to deal with their insurance company alone. Simply, Craig, what we now have here is a vote-garnering operation based upon Kamala Harris's equity nonsense instead of Biden's helping the true homeowners with their tangible property losses. And it's while said renter can just pick up and rent elsewhere, having $80,000 in their pocket to do so.
Well, truth has never been a strong point of the liberal agenda. We all know that. And, you know, during, you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, right after the hurricane hit down there in Southwest Florida, that kind of came to the forefront in a situation involving Marco Rubio, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And it's just more politicization that ties into the aforementioned continuing resolution that Florida's elected officials said no to, and rightly so. And many of us here in Florida are glad that they did. And why? Because Democrats always prefer politics over truth and reality. Now, one case in point revolves around Senator Marco Rubio and his opponent, Val Demings, who criticized Rubio for his, quote, not being present for the resolution vote. But Marco had a very good reason for not being there. Our senator was here in Florida's Lee County surveying the epicenter of the destruction caused by the storm, which was exactly where he needed to be. And that was way more important than being in Washington voting on a bill that does little to directly help those in Florida who lost everything. And by the way, Senator Rubio stayed in Southwest Florida doing whatever he could do to help? So to both Val Demings and St. Petersburg-based State House Democrat Michelle Rayner, who said, quote, the people of Florida deserve better, I agree that they do. But that the only way to achieve better is by not voting for people like Demings and Rayner in the first place. Now, as for the actuality of Joe Biden and bad optics, the only thing he seems to have mastered, Biden was rightfully criticized for his slow response to Puerto Rico being hit by Hurricane Fiona. So it was critical, PR-wise, that he visit Southwest Florida as soon as it was safe for him to do so. But I find it odd that with our Commonwealth of Puerto Rico having had suffered major hurricane damage on September 18th, which is almost 2 weeks before he or Ian ever visited Florida, that Biden chose the day before coming to Southwest Florida to go to Puerto Rico. And once there, while he did promise Puerto Rico $60 million in federal funding to help rebuild the island, it's obvious to all that he should have gone there weeks ago and not piggybacked said visit with his coming to Southwest Florida. Priorities askew as always, with truly bad optics to boot, forced Biden to play the race card in Puerto Rico even before Kamala Harris did so in regards to Florida. How so? In his short visit to the island, what Biden hoped for was to garner votes via his words that, quote, my home state of Delaware had a relatively large Puerto Rican community when I was growing up, and that I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically, end quote. But I believe Biden fooled no one, for most know that Pennsylvania is Biden's actual home state, as his family didn't move to Delaware until he was 10 years old, and that when he started his now 50-year, way too long political career, there were only about 2,100 people of Puerto Rican descent living in the entirety of Delaware. So what Biden did while in Puerto Rico was direct his words to the island's Democrat voters and to the roughly 23,000 folks of Puerto Rican descent now living in Delaware, comprising but 2.5% of the state's population. I guess when politics is involved, Joe Biden figures that by his now classifying himself, in a sense, as a person of color, that Craig, it will help his party in some small way to deflect the soon-to-come November red wave.
I thought he was Irish. Is he Irish Puerto Rican now? Is that a drunk with rhythm? What is that?
Well, all I know is, you know, Biden, now our newest person of color, came to Fort Myers.
Wait a minute. Go back and say that again.
Well, Biden, our newest person of color, came to Fort Myers to not only survey the damage caused by Hurricane Ian, but to pretend to play nice. And why pretend? You can see it in a footnote on my blog. With Governor DeSantis and other elected officials, while throwing the 80K bone at some, but not all, in a play for Democrat votes. But to be fair, I must say that while here Biden not only praised Governor DeSantis for his handling of Hurricane Ian, and even went so far as to say that DeSantis's response was pretty remarkable, but he extended the federal emergency relief package he first enacted on September 29th at 100% of the total eligible costs by an additional 30 days, thus now making the direct federal assistance package available for 60 days. And while this relief package will provide funding for, quote, debris removal and emergency protective measures, this package really does nothing for those who have lost everything. And to those who sadly lost everything, when Biden met with local officials and residents at Fisherman's Wharf, a marina that was ripped apart by the storm, he stated that, quote, the key here is building back better and stronger to withstand the next storm, adding that you can't go back to what it was before. You've got to build back better because we know more is coming. And while these very words are surely true, as much stronger building codes have now proven to be needed, the residents gathered. Craig wanted to hear what he and the federal government will do now to help them, not just do later on.
You know, it's amazing. You can't go back to what it was before. You got to build. You know, look, if Biden comes to your neighborhood that's been destroyed by a natural disaster and says he's going to build back better, run, get the hell out of there. You know, but that wasn't all he said, was it? I mean, he made some more absolutely inane comments.
Yes, he did. While Biden was here, he also said, quote, "I want the people of Florida to know that you have my commitment and America's commitment that we're not going to leave. We're going to see you through this entire process." Yet he never stated exactly what the process will be. Simply, when folks are hurting, when all they once had was now lost, generalities are not what they want to hear. They not only want, but deserve answers to questions asked. Something that, you know, something that wasn't gotten from Biden during this short and seemingly planned to be quite rushed visit. But if truth be told, as it always should be, answers to direct questions is something we never seem to get from Democrats, as more times than not, those answers can only be found buried deep within self-serving, partisan-driven, continuing resolutions, which sadly seems to be the case now. But speaking in generalities, I must say that all the key players did, at least on the surface, try to overcome their ever-widening partisan divide. In fact, our great governor even commended the White House for its collaboration in helping Floridians and thanked Biden for visiting his state, as well as praising FEMA with words to the effect that, quote, "We were very fortunate to have good coordination with the White House and with FEMA," which for now has proven to be true. And yet, with all the words spoken, all the praise given, and all the promises made, it was the optics of Joe Biden's visit to Southwest Florida that said more than anything else. How so? Because I believe that Joe Biden now knows, at least on some semblance of a cognitive level, that he and his party's hold on power is about to come to an end. And Craig, it's all due to the fact that sometimes a photo does say it all.
Well, when Biden says, "I want to tell the people of Florida that you have my commitment and America's commitment that we're not going to leave," if I was Ron DeSantis, I would have said, "Oh, hell yes, you are. You're going to get out of here as fast as possible." You know, you can leave anytime, buddy.
Yes.
You know, you talk about the photo, you know, and as photo ops go, this was a great photo op for Ron DeSantis and a disaster for Biden and the liberals.
Right. And I have the photo in my article, as well as Governor DeSantis doing something in that photo. So let's go back by saying the now widely circulated photo of Governor Ron DeSantis speaking from the presidential podium, the photo where DeSantis's strength, fortitude, and leadership clearly shines through, is indeed a foreshadowing of things to come, whether it be in 2024 or 2028. And Joe Biden's willingly turning the podium over to DeSantis quite unexpectedly while he stepped aside, going off script, puts it mildly, drew shock and dismay from many on his side of the political aisle. And while it is not uncommon for local officials to speak from the presidential podium after a natural disaster, it did seem odd that Biden would allow the very someone who might potentially run and win the next presidential election to be given such an opportunity to show what a real president looks, acts, and sounds like. No PR firm could ever dream up a better press release than that one photo. And I, like I said, I have it in the article of DeSantis behind the presidential seal as it came, knowingly or not, courtesy of Joe Biden's recognizing a job well done at a time when some of our fellow Americans are badly hurting. And it was DeSantis's aforementioned strong leadership, fortitude, and his being able to successfully handle the many obstacles now before him, obstacles obviously not of his doing, that gave we the people a glimpse into what America's future could look like with the right man at the helm. And most shockingly of all, and putting partisan politics aside, it came courtesy of Joe Biden and a hurricane named Ian. Case closed.
You know, I think I don't know how Ron DeSantis controls himself sometimes. But, you know, when Biden says, you know, we're not going to leave, I would have said, well, you know, you see that plane over there? They're serving ice cream on that, and it's heading to Martha's Vineyard.
Right. You can be part of the welcome committee, right?
Go see your buddy Barack, you know.
Look, Biden was pretending, totally pretending, because, like I said, the truth all came out, and it's in the article. And I have the link to it. And because what happened the day after Joe Biden was here, Biden announced that he was opening up a federal investigation into Ron DeSantis because of his sending the illegals to Martha's Vineyard. So his whole, you know, stay here in Florida, the few hours that it was all political optics that backfired on him, and rightly so. And you can read that article. It will explain everything. I have the link in a footnote below the article. Biden was a phony being here. Jill Biden was a phony being here. The continuing resolution screwed the very people that need the help the most. And Val Demings made herself look like a fool.
You know, but, you know, you're right when you say it backfired on him, but it's a self-inflicted wound.
Exactly.
You know, every one of those.
Either that, Craig, or like I say, on some whatever cognitive level he has left, he knows it's over.
I don't know what he knows. Yeah, I don't know if he knows it's time for pudding at 4 o'clock. I have no idea what the guy knows, because he speaks in gibberish.
He speaks in gibberish, but people with dementia, people with Parkinson's or Lewy's body dementia, they do have moments of clarity when they're back in the world. And I think in those rare moments for Biden, he knows it's over.
Well, he should. I mean, yeah. I don't know if he actually does, but he should. You know, obviously, mm-hmm. He was not having a moment of clarity when he claimed to have been brought up by Puerto Ricans.
No, he wasn't.
It's like, holy crap. You know, the politicization of Hurricane Ian Part 2, which follows the politicization of Hurricane Ian Part 1, oddly enough, both those op-eds can be found on Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or you can go to rspradio1.com and you can get the links there. Share both of them. Make sure you do share both of those articles, because one leads to the next. And it's, you know, it's an amazing situation. You know, what happened.
It's a terrible
with him.
Situation. Yeah.
And you're 100% right. Biden started inflicting the wounds to himself and his party when he drug his heels and went to Puerto Rico right before he came to Florida. I mean,
Puerto Rico is a commonwealth, it's not a state. Puerto Rico is a commonwealth. He should have been here in America first, but technically he should have been in Puerto Rico 2 weeks ago. Because it is a commonwealth of the United States. So he should have been there already. Not piggyback it the day before on coming down here.
Yeah, the only reason, the only way.
That's a slap in the face.
The only reason, I guess, he wanted to go to Puerto Rico is he wanted to get some of those good Puerto Rican cigars until somebody told him, no, that's Cuba.
Cuba. He only went to Puerto Rico to garner votes.
That's it. That's the only reason he goes anywhere. is to garner votes. Yeah. How did how did the people in Florida take it when he was down there? Were they just like, get the hell out?
Most of them were very aloof. There were a couple that embraced him, obviously. You know, there are Democrats down here. You know, there were a few, oh, Joe, you know, it was pathetic to watch it on the local stations and everything. But the majority of people, they weren't buying what he was selling because he never told exactly what the aid would be. And I mentioned that in the article. You can make these general promises, but we need tangibles down here. We don't need generalities. We need specifics. And that's not what's happening.
Well, but even the Democrats have to know at this point, when he says we're going to build back better, they can look at the country and they say nothing's been built, nothing's back, and nothing's better.
Right. So we don't need Biden to build back, you know, the southwest of Florida. We don't need him for that. We got DeSantis. And, you know, our building codes are some of the strongest in the country. After Andrew, our building codes were extremely tough. And I know that personally because my house was built after Andrew and things that were done before were not allowed anymore. But a storm of this magnitude up until then had not hit the West Coast. So, you know, each county has its own codes. What probably I would think is going to happen now is it's going to be statewide codes.
And that's probably what they should have done before, but, you know, DeSantis wasn't the governor back then.
No, we had Charlie Crist.
Yeah, you know, who's got his head you know where. And, you know, so, yeah, we'll change the codes where it hit today, but never mind the rest of the state, which really never made any sense, but that's the way he did it.
Well, what's very funny about that with the codes, after Andrew, if you were going to build a two-story house, the second floor could no longer be wood. It had to be concrete. The concrete, the cinder blocks had to go all the way up. And if you look at the destruction over on the West Coast, the homes that did make it through, yes, they were damaged, but the homes that did make it through were solid cinder block.
Makes a difference, you know.
Makes and, a huge difference.
You know, I'm not asking for specifics here, but generally, what do you think the time frame is for getting some of that, like the marina and some of that, put back together? I mean, does anybody have any sense of a timeline?
Knowing Ron DeSantis, I think it's going to be quicker than people expect. But the thing is, it's not so much the cleanup, because that's well underway.
Sure.
It's the rebuilding.
Right.
Okay, businesses are destroyed. The marinas are secondary to the homes.
Well, I just use that as an example. I mean, you know, marinas, homes,
I'd say we're going to be back to some semblance of normal. I'm even going to go so far as to say within a year or two, there's going to be homes built. I mean, everything's being funneled now to the West Coast. DeSantis, I mean, this man is amazing. Within days of the hurricane, he had built a temporary bridge over to the destroyed islands. My favorite island of Sanibel is, God only knows how they're going to ever rebuild that, but there was a bridge there. There was a bridge to Pine Island. Captiva and Sanibel are attached together with a little bridge. The temporary bridges are in place. The people now, you know, can get on and off the islands onto the mainland. This man, he's remarkable, really, what he's done in the short period of time.
Right.
And I'm not going to say it's going to take all that long. I think it's going to be rebuilt before Andrew was.
You know, it's impressive. And I fully, you know, when this hit, I told Diane, we were talking, and I said DeSantis is going to have this thing well underway, and it's going to be, you know, things are going to be fixed and cleaned up, and the rebuilding is going to move at warp speed, unlike it did in New Orleans after Katrina. So,
well, we have a totally different kind of governor here,
right?
Who's not self-serving. He's actually working for the people of Florida. And it is, and I don't mean this in a bad sense, it's a different demographic and different economic situation.
Very different. Folks, you can get
and
Diane's op-ed.
That's going to make a lot of difference.
Yep, you can get Diane's op-ed, The Politicization of Hurricane Ian, Part 2, and get Part 1 while you're there, at Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or rspradio1.com. Either place, you can get the links and share and share and share. That's what it's all about. All right, top of the hour. Got to take another break. Couple more station IDs. When we come back, folks, I'm going to light your hair on fire. Stuff you never thought you would hear. And I mean, this is absolutely repugnant, what is going on. So stay with us. A Simple Answer versus the Truth is coming up next on Right Side Patriots.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot. Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. It's Tuesday night. Glad you're spending part of it with us. We appreciate that. If you miss any part of tonight's show, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow. Check the podcast button. This show and lots of others are going to be there waiting for you. All right, so there's a situation that's growing in this country, and it's repugnant, to say the least. And I decided to take that on and you know, provide some facts and some thought. But I'll tell you right now, I've got three videos locked and loaded in this commentary in my blog. And when you go there, don't skip watching the videos. And we'll talk more about those here after I get done with this segment. But it's A Simple Answer versus the Truth. Now, I'm going to start with a quote. What is it about a grown man costumed in a sparkly bra with augmented boobs busting out and wearing a miniskirt barely covering his twerking ass with duct tape on his front while spreading his fishnetted legs as he writhes on the ground, grinding his groin next to a minor that is family-friendly? Unquote. Now, that's the question that was asked by a San Diego mother, Brittany Mayer, of the Encinitas Union School District at a school board meeting last week. And as questions go, it's a pretty damn good question. That school board, the Encinitas Union School District Board in San Diego, California, has invited community children and families to a queer Halloween party featuring a family-friendly drag queen show on October 29th. Naturally, many parents contacted the school board with a combination of concerns and outright disgust, demanding that the board put a stop to the planned event and issue an apology along with an explanation. But the Encinitas Union School District Board in San Diego, California, declined to either cancel or explain the event. Having no other recourse, parents, including Brittany Mayer, showed up at the school board meeting where Mayer posed the aforementioned question. But it gets better. That event, the boobash, queer, yet supposedly family-friendly drag queen show for kids, is being sponsored by Align Surgical Center. That's a San Francisco gender reassignment surgery center. And Riches, a 21-plus gay bar. Now, I put into the blog the flyer for the event so you can see it. So, what has the school district done about it? Well, the district reportedly took the flyer down after finding it did not meet quote-unquote district approval criteria, and the district has since, quote, reviewed and adjusted procedures for approving flyers in the future, unquote. They took the flyer down, and they've adjusted the procedure for approving flyers in the future. Diane, they have not canceled the event, but they have adjusted the procedure for approving flyers.
No, they haven't. But the whole thing boils down to is, why is this event supposedly family friendly? And why are they pushing a deviation on young children?
I wish I had answers for you, but I do have some other pretty damn good questions. Why do a gender reassignment surgery center and a 21-plus gay nightclub think it's appropriate for them to sponsor a queer Halloween drag queen show for little kids? I mean, right now the focus is on the school board and the school district, and appropriately so. But shouldn't someone other than me be asking why the surgery center and gay nightclub jumped on the bandwagon to sponsor a children's event? And here's another question. Why does the school board think that kids will benefit from a queer Halloween event featuring drag queens and sponsored by a gender reassignment surgery center and a 21-plus gay nightclub? Their job as a school district is to educate kids, which means reading, writing, math, and science. Now, how does an event like this further educate the kids? And for that matter, what sort of parents would take their kids to a queer drag queen show sponsored by a gender reassignment surgery center and a 21-plus gay nightclub? Well, the simple answer is that they're woke. The parents who would take their children to such an event are woke. The school board and the school district administrators are woke. And the sponsors of the event are woke. But the truth is much more complex than that. And to get to the truth, allow me to provide some background and insight. I do radio news for Nebraska and South Dakota on a local radio station, The Twister. And nearly every day, I have stories in my newscast regarding the sexual abuse of children by adults. In fact, I rarely have more than one day a week when I don't have such a story. Last week was no exception. Last Friday, I covered 26-year-old Chris Fumi in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, who stands accused of fondling six little boys at a daycare center where he was working. Now, the victims were 3 and 4 years old, and apparently his crimes were caught on video surveillance. On the same day, last Friday, I also covered a story regarding Joel Foster, who's 37 years old, of Big Springs, Nebraska, who is up on charges of having inappropriate contact with a 16-year-old. Now, Foster was a teacher in the South Platte School District. The 16-year-old was a student, and according to the arrest affidavit, quote, Foster intentionally and knowingly encouraged or forced the minor to engage in debauchery, public indecency, or obscene or pornographic photography, films, or depictions, unquote. Now, Diane, here's an interesting yet disgusting fact. So far this year, 269 public educators were arrested on child sex-related crimes in the U.S. Out of the 269 educators, it includes 4 principals, 2 assistant principals, 226 teachers, 20 teachers' aides, and 17 substitute teachers. That number, 269, could well be higher because only the cases that made local news were counted.
Well, isn't it kind of coincidental that all this started happening during Obama's time in office?
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Yes.
News stories like these used to be rare, especially in my part of the country, but sadly, it's no longer the case, as over the past 2 or 3 years, it has become rare not to have such stories in our local rural news, which begs the question, why? Now, I maintain it's because the liberal agenda has ramped up the indoctrination of students to hypersexualize them, while at the same time mainstreaming perverse behavior via social and mainstream media, as well as through our public schools. Case in point, we're now being told to believe that people who engage in pedophilia should be thought of and referred to as minor attracted persons. The idea, according to the liberal agenda, is to make such perverse and abhorrent behavior more acceptable and to destigmatize it for those who engage in it. Think I'm making this up? If you think I'm trying to start a conspiracy theory here, think again. Consider this. In late August of this year at Franklin High School in El Paso, Texas, an English teacher by the name of Amber Parker was caught on video admonishing a student for using the term pedophiles. In the video, the teacher said, quote, "Stop calling them that. You're not allowed to label people like that. Stop it, Diego. We are not going to call them that. We are going to call them MAPS, minor attractive persons. So don't judge people just because they want to have sex with a 5-year-old, unquote. Yes, the video, all 18 seconds of it, lack context, so we don't really know how the conversation started or what was said after. But the question is, why was an English teacher engaged in a conversation during class regarding pedophilia and the term minor attracted persons to begin with? Diane, I suggest it could be because the teacher is woke and is the product of being taught herself all the way through school and college by those who adhere to the liberal agenda. In fact, I suggest that today's teachers are at least the third generation of liberally indoctrinated people in that profession. They were taught by liberal indoctrinees who were also taught by liberal indoctrinees.
You know, when you hear stories like this about how it's going on in our public school systems and how principals and teachers and substitute teachers are guilty of all this, taking part in this indoctrination, it kind of makes you want to go take a shower with a lot of Clorox.
It really does. And this teacher at the school in Texas, Parker, she was eventually fired for trying to indoctrinate her students into accepting pedophilia as something normal. But she's not the only educator to defend that practice. Now, here we start with the videos. Okay, the first video is of a trans Old Dominion University professor by the name of Alan Walker, who was eventually fired from that job for defending pedophiles. So, where is he, she, or it now? Well, Alan Walker has been hired by Johns Hopkins University to work in their, wait for it, Moore Center for the Prevention of Child Sexual Abuse.
That's just absolutely mind-boggling.
I told you I'm going to light your hair on fire tonight, folks. This guy, Alan, whatever he is, has written a book. And remember, this is the whatever it is at Johns Hopkins in the position to prevent child sexual abuse. And in that book, he advocates that pedophiles should also be provided with, and I quote, childlike sex dolls to satisfy their urges. And he says that sex crime is not immoral. I mean, holy cow.
Now, I know.
Next video is a woman, I guess, named Miranda, and she is a licensed professional counselor and sex therapist who is also defending pedophiles as misunderstood because they are already marginalized populations. Okay? You got to watch these videos. The third video, Elaine Gephardt, a registered nurse from Kansas, pushing the same woke nonsense, defending and trying to rebrand pedophilia as minor attracted persons. And let me be clear, I find these defenders of pedophilia equally as repugnant as the pedophiles themselves. But the liberal agenda includes the indoctrination of children to accept this repugnant behavior in the effort to mainstream and normalize it in our society. Diane, our teachers, far too many of them, have been indoctrinated via the liberal agenda, as were their teachers and their teachers before them. And now it's reached a point where parents, the sort of parents who would take their children to a queer Halloween drag queen show sponsored by a gender reassignment surgery center and a 21-plus gay nightclub, have been indoctrinated by liberal indoctrinated teachers going back at least two, if not three, generations.
Well, I'll go so far as to say anyone who defends this, anyone who defends these kind of people, and by that I mean pedophiles, anyone who thinks pedophilia is normal, they need as much psychiatric help as the pedophile does, maybe even more so, because most pedophiles kind of try to keep it to themselves. But these people are pushing it out as a new normal. It's not.
And they're pushing it towards kids. They're trying to normalize it to the very kids who are being abused. Yeah. Look, let me connect some dots here for you folks. Liberal indoctrinated parents, liberal indoctrinated teachers, liberal indoctrinated school board members, and liberal indoctrinated school district administrators. Toss in similarly indoctrinated administrators at the Gender Reassignment Surgery Center and at the 21-plus gay nightclub, and mix it all together with indoctrinated drag queens, and guess what you get? You get a school district that puts on a queer Halloween event featuring drag queens and sponsored by a Gender Reassignment Surgery Center and a 21-plus gay nightclub, and when unwoke parents call them out, they review and adjust procedures for approving flyers in the future. Mm-hmm. They see nothing wrong with the action. The only problem in their minds is the messaging. Make no mistake, this isn't just a local San Diego issue. The liberal agenda stretches from sea to shining sea, and this is but a single example of what is on the ballot this November. Every ballot has names on it, a few of them will have ballot issues on them. They won't be spelled out, as I have spelled out this particular issue in this commentary, but rest assured, the choices you make will determine just how pervasive these issues will be in the future. You are voting for so much more than names or parties on your ballots. You're taking a step to determine the direction of our country. You're voting for more of the same or for turning the ship around and steering it away from the liberal agenda. The liberal agenda is pushing hard to upend what is good and right about our nation and replace it with a society that accepts abnormal behavior as a new standard. Liberals know that the way to achieve their goals is to indoctrinate the children into believing abhorrent behavior is the new normal, and they turn their backs on self-reliance, individual thought, freedom of speech, and standing up for what they believe. Our schools no longer teach children how to think. They tell them what to think.
True.
Liberals seek to bring their agenda to fruition via attrition by replacing adults who know better with children indoctrinated to champion the perverse and grow into adults who don't know better and raise their children in the image of the liberal agenda. Think about it, Diane. While the liberal agenda is hell-bent on indoctrinating our children, their parents who know better are being labeled as domestic terrorists for speaking up at school board meetings, and they're being arrested. Parents who support the police are being canceled, while common criminals like Michael Brown or George Floyd are being honored with plaques and regarded as heroes. Honor classes, as well as valedictorians at graduations, are being done away with, while a school dropout gallivants around the world scolding world leaders about the weather. Academic achievement is being replaced by TikTok stardom.
Yeah, and that's sad in and of itself. You know, folks, you got to remember TikTok is Chinese. It's not an American thing. Just think about that. But the thing with the pedophilias is this is sick behavior. These people who think of children as sexual objects, they need to be as far away as possible for children. If that means being locked up, if it means castration, so be it. This is not normal societal behavior. And the people that are pushing it, including that reassignment surgery center, they're in it for their own self-serving purposes. In the case of the center, they're in it for money.
You bet. You bet they are. You know, but you look at what the liberals and liberal agenda are trying to do to this nation, and it's clear that being a productive member of society is being replaced by being a social media influencer. Mm-hmm. Look, it's time to take action to prevent liberals from reviewing and adjusting procedures for approving flyers in the future for the sole purpose of disguising their true agenda. And that is the bottom line. Now, Diane, I said up earlier in this segment that at up to date, 269 educators have been arrested for child sexual abuse. That number went up on Monday. Yesterday, a teacher, fifth grade teacher, mm-hmm. was arrested for sexually abusing a 13-year-old student. That's in Reading, Pennsylvania.
This has gotten out of hand. And again, people, you need to realize when all of this started happening, it happened starting with Obama and has gotten worse ever since. And the reason it has gotten worse is because Biden might be the president, quote unquote, But Obama is the one running the show. This is all part of the agenda that goes all the way back to him. And this kind of stuff, remember, each of these deviations has fed off the other. This whole nonsense with the wokeism should have been stopped when the first statue was taken down.
Right. I mean, the liberals and the liberal agenda, they're all about labels, right?
That's it.
OK, Okay. An undocumented immigrant. What is that?
Illegal.
It's an illegal alien. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's an undocumented immigrant. Okay.
No, or a migrant.
Yeah.
I love to use the word migrant.
A minor attractive person is nothing but a pedophile.
You know what a pedophile is?
But we can't call them pedophiles. Yeah,
see,
we can't call them that.
Even the word pedophile, Craig, is not true enough. They are a sexual pervert.
I agree, but the scientific term for it is pedophile.
Right, yeah. I know that.
You know, but we can't call them a pedophile. Well, that might hurt a pedophile's feelings. That might hurt a pervert's feelings. We can't call mm-hmm. them that. You know, and when you go back to what this teacher at Franklin High School in El Paso said, you know, stop calling them that. You're not allowed to label people like that. Stop it, Diego. We're not going to call them that. We're going to call them MAPS, minor attractive persons. So don't judge people just because they want to have sex with a 5-year-old.
Oh, that, well, you know, Craig, that is so repulsive.
If you can't
There's
judge
not
somebody
even
for
words to describe that,
if you can't judge somebody for wanting to have sex with a 5-year-old, what can you judge them for?
Well, you know, pedophiles don't do very well in jail, thankfully.
No, thankfully they don't. Now, folks, I told you I was going to light your hair on fire. I told you this was dealt with a repugnant subject, and it does. You can get this link, and I hope you do, and I hope you share it everywhere, because people need to know what's going on. Go to my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, or go to rspradio1.com. Either place, you can get the link to this commentary, A Simple Answer Versus the Truth. Now, like I said, I've got 3 videos locked and loaded in here. These people defending pedophilia and trying to coerce people into calling these perverts, these pedophiles, minor attracted people. Okay, you've got to see the ilk of what is around you. You know, this one guy, he's working at Johns Hopkins at the Moore Center for the Prevention of Child Sexual Abuse, and he's defending pedophilia. There's a
Craig, you got to wonder about the people who are defending pedophilia. Could they be pedophiles themselves?
You got to wonder. You've mm-hmm. you've got a counselor, and you've got a nurse. How many kids is this nurse going to deal with in any given day or week? You know, right. I mean, holy crap. Now, yeah, you're gonna feel like taking a shower with Clorox when you're done watching all 3 of these videos, but I implore you, you've got to watch the videos to see what you're up against.
Right, that's true.
I mean, it's sick, it's disgusting, but this is what they're trying to pass off as the new normal. See, and when you know, when you get into the gender studies in schools, which is something parents go to school board meetings and say, you can't do that. We don't want that. We don't want our kids exposed to that. See, that's what, you know, you got the DOJ and the FBI calling these parents that say, no, don't do this in school. They got them as domestic terrorists and they're placing them under arrest. Meanwhile, they allow this crap to go on.
Right. Right. Our school system is totally broken right now. Not everywhere. You know, thank God we got a good governor that says none of this critical race theory, none of this sexual stuff to young kids. There needs to be a nationwide uproar over this.
I agree.
We need to take our schools back.
Well, now, you know, a year ago, I wrote an article about the Loudoun County, Virginia mm-hmm. school situation. That's where parents were getting arrested.
Right.
That's one of the first places. And I said then, this isn't going to go away. This is going to become bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, coming up on November 8th, the Loudoun County School District, Loudoun County, Virginia, every single member of their school board is up for re-election. Every last mm-hmm. one of them.
Vote them
watch,
out.
Watch and see what happens in Loudoun County, Virginia. But if you've got people like this on your school board, if you've got people like this teaching your kids, how good do you feel about sending your kids to school?
You shouldn't feel good at all.
You know, thankfully, parents are waking up.
Yes. Parents used to be awake. Parents used to be involved in being room parents and all the activities going on in the school. And again, that's something we started seeing disappearing under Obama.
Well, I think a lot of that started to disappear well before Obama was around.
Not to this degree.
Maybe not, but you know, PTAs and parent-teacher conferences and parents being in the schools and in the classrooms and things, you don't see that anymore, and it's a shame. But parents got an eyeful during COVID and all the Zoom classes, and now they're aware of what's happening in their schools, and they're starting to take. Can you hear that? I got a dog fight going on outside the office.
I can hear that. That's Barkley.
Barkley.
Perfect game.
Barkley is messing around with Bella. Out in the hallway.
Well, at least he waited till the end of the show.
Well, and it is the end of the show. I mean, we've only got 15 seconds left, so what do you say?
I say nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up with you again on Friday. Bye-bye.